Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 11th day of October 2018. About 15 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by our primary guest today, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, who is an adjunct professor of systematic theology at Westminster Theological Seminary, to discuss the debate over retrieving Thomas Aquinas for Reformed theology. But before that, we're going to be joined by our friend Mike Gadosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, just to give us an update on what's new at Solid Ground Christian Books and what deals they have to offer. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my friend Mike Gadosh.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. I wasn't expecting to be back quite so quickly, but I'm glad I can fill in for a few minutes while you're waiting for your main guest today. I was trying to figure out which I fit into amongst pastors, scholars, and theologians. I was a pastor, and I'm not a budding theologian, but I think that I would agree with Packer. We're just in the process of coming to the knowledge of who God is, and it's our responsibility to seek to know him and to make him known.
Praise God. Well, tell us about Solid Ground Christian Books for those of our listeners who might be brand new listeners who haven't heard you very frequently promoted on this program. But tell our listeners about Solid Ground Christian Books and tell us about new offers that you've got going.
Yeah, what I'd like to do today is just introduce a few of the new titles that we have recently done, as well as a title that I am going to be doing sometime within the next couple of months, in fact, within the next month. Solid Ground has been serving Christ and his church since 2001. I actually began publishing as a pastor when I was pastoring in Amityville, New York, in Long Island, and we began Calvary Press in 1991.
And that's where I was saved by the mercy of Christ. That's where you baptized me.
That's exactly right.
And I was a part-time employee of Solid Ground Christian
Press. That's right. That's right. No, Calvary Press.
Calvary Press, I meant.
That's right. And Calvary Press is still in existence today, but it's not connected any longer with the church there in Long Island. Solid Ground actually kind of grew out when my wife and I moved to Alabama. The Lord opened a door for me to begin a new work, and that work is now full-time. I've been doing this for over 17 years. And we have published over 350 titles since 2001. The largest we have ever done is the 22-volume hardcover set of the works of Thomas Manton. And we published 1,000 sets, and they all sold. And we're actually in the process of trying to do another printing, and we are gathering orders together, pre-orders, to be able to allow us to do that. It's probably going to be a couple of years before we can pull that off, if we are able to, and I'm not certain that we will, but we are at least at the early stages of working on that. But let me just tell you and introduce you to a few, or your listeners, to a few of the items that we have recently done. The most recent is a small work by W.G.T. Shedd. William G.T. Shedd was born in 1820 and died in 1894. He was a pastor and he was a theologian. He spent the majority of his life, or at least the last part of his life, as professor first of biblical literature and then systematic theology at Union Theological Seminary in New York. At the time he was there, this was a reformed and solid seminary. He was himself a solid five-point Calvinist. And what I have reproduced recently is a piece that has not been available for quite some time. It's entitled Biblical Exegesis, The Influence Upon the Theologian and Preacher. And this little work was done, in fact, it was when the day that he was instituted and placed into the position of being the professor of biblical literature that he delivered this memorable address that's in this booklet. It was January 11th, 1864. He was inaugurated into the chair of biblical literature at Union Seminary. The services were held in the Madison Square Church. Charles Butler Esquire was vice president of the board. He presided, put the constitutional questions to the professor-elect. The services were opened with prayer by the Reverend George Lewis Prentice, the husband of Elizabeth Prentice, the author of Stepping Heavenward. He opened in prayer, and then after the induction of Professor Shedd, the charge was delivered in behalf of the directors by the Reverend William Adams. And then that was followed by this memorable address, Biblical Exegesis, Its Influence Upon the Theologian and Preacher. It's a powerful address and one that every pastor, everyone really who is involved in opening the scriptures would benefit from. Right before we did that, we also published a work by Benjamin Warfield entitled Thoughts on Predestination and Election. And these are two works, two smaller works that Warfield did, and I brought them together and put them in this booklet. And let me just read you the opening lines of the Some Thoughts on Predestination. He says, a great man of the last generation began the preface of a splendid little book he was writing on this subject with the words, happy would it be for the Church of Christ and for the world if Christian ministers and Christian people could be content to be disciples, learners. He meant to intimate that if only we were willing to sit simply at the feet of the inspired writers and take them at their word, we would have no difficulties with predestination. The difficulties we feel with regard to predestination are not derived from the word. The word is full of it because it is full of God. And when we say God and mean God, God and all that God is, we have said predestination. Our difficulties with predestination arise from a no doubt not unnatural unwillingness to acknowledge ourselves to be wholly at the disposal of another. We wish to be at our own disposal. We wish to belong to ourselves, and we resent belonging, especially belonging absolutely to anybody else, even if that anybody else be God. We are in the mood of the singer of the hymn beginning, I was a wandering sheep, when he declares of himself, I would not be controlled. We will not be controlled. Or rather, to speak more accurately, we will not admit that we are controlled. He goes on and expounds the doctrine of predestination in a very powerful way, and then in an even a longer essay entitled Some Thoughts on Election, he has a powerful exposition primarily of chapter 2 of Ephesians. And I love Warfield. He's probably my favorite author. And that work, Predestination and Election, is just a wonderful introduction to his powerful writing. Another work, I know that we're running out of time already, but another work that I've recently done is by J.I. Packer and Alan Stibbs, entitled The Spirit Within You, The Church's Neglected Possession. This was published some 50 years ago, and it has not been available for many, many years. And I was able to get permission directly from J.I. Packer himself when he was in Birmingham some 10 years ago. And I sat with him for a conference that he was doing, and I had a copy of an old copy of the book in my hand, and I told him how much I appreciated it, and I was sad that it had not been made available for many years. And I asked him, I said, would you have any problem with me bringing this back into print and doing a new edition? And he said, oh, no, I would be delighted. Unfortunately, it took me more years than I anticipated to get it done, but it is now available, and we're offering it for just $5. It's a great little book, 10 chapters, and it's really hard to tell who wrote the chapters because both men, Packer and Stibbs, wrote very similarly. They both wrote with brevity and clarity, and those are obviously very important. Just in the minute or two that I have left, I would like to share a book that I'm planning on doing. It's entitled The Practice of Godliness, and it was written by Abraham Kuyper. Kuyper was an incredibly brilliant man. He was prime minister. He was the founder of Free University in Amsterdam. He was just an incredible writer. And this book, The Practice of Godliness, is one of my favorites on the subject of the godly life. He divides the book into three sections, the Christian warfare, Christian patience, and then humility before God. And it's a book that I hope to have available within the next month or so. And I love the way he begins the book. Do I have another minute?
Yes, you do.
He begins the book by saying, it's actually the very opening chapter is titled, Our Troubled Lives. And then it's subtitled, Working the Work of the Lord. He says, Zerubbabel was beset with troubles when the angel brought him the word of the Lord through the prophet, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How often we have heard those words applied to problems of today, as if they were a warning against all human effort in kingdom work. But they were not that. Indeed not, for the Lord encouraged Zerubbabel in the work of his hands. The angel says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. The Spirit of the Lord, using the hands of Zerubbabel, would accomplish the work. Though physical might and power to match that of the enemy was lacking in the little band of zealous workers. There are Christians who maintain that the godly life is a life of quiet submission and of patient waiting, waiting upon the Lord till he perform his own work. For the battle is the Lord's, and Jehovah shall fight for you, they say. But he goes on and points out the fact that while this was true in the Old Testament, there were times when Israel was told to stand by and watch God work. He says the era of such miraculous intervention is past. Wonders such as of old God does not choose to perform now, though at the return of Jesus upon the clouds he will again thus gloriously manifest his power. In the meanwhile, he is working immediately through us, and it is ours to be up and doing, ours to work the work of the Lord, ours to labor in the name of the Lord amid troubles that beset us on every hand. And he goes on and describes the enemies that we must battle against, and It is a powerful, powerful book. It is simple, it is devotional, and I'm excited about the opportunity of being able to introduce it once again to the Christian community throughout the world. Oh, you know what happened? I just wanted to mention this, too. The other day, it was right after I was on with you, I got my very first order from Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Yeah, first time I've ever had an order from Saudi Arabia. And my wife and I were able to actually find the hospital where this order was placed from. It was a nice order, too. It was a good-sized order, and that's going to be shipping out either today or tomorrow and heading to a brand-new country for us. We've shipped to well over a dozen countries, but that's the first time that we've ever gotten an order.
Do you know if it was somebody in our audience?
He didn't say, so I'm not sure. It's possible. It's very possible that he's. But I don't think he actually stated how he found out about us. But that would be interesting, wouldn't it? If he had indeed found out about us. Because do you have you had notice of listeners from Saudi Arabia?
I cannot think of one right now, but we have had listeners from all over the world, even Japan and Pakistan and South Korea and Africa, many different countries on the African continent.
And, of course, we've had orders from almost every one of those countries as well. So, and I do have, I've had many orders that have come through Iron Sharpens Iron. So there's, you know, it's really been a mutually beneficial relationship that we've been working together this way, and I'm very grateful for you and for Iron Sharpens Iron, and I'm excited about the G3 conference that's coming up. I plan to be there.
Great.
Health has gotten stronger and stronger, and my wife and I are expecting to be able to spend the whole time there this year, starting on Wednesday night for the debate and then staying right on through Saturday afternoon. And so we're very excited about that.
Well, I'm excited about seeing you again face-to-face and sharing fellowship with you. Maybe we can once again drag Larry Silveiro up there.
Well, yeah, hopefully we don't have to drag him, but I think he'd be delighted to be able to come again. And hopefully there will be several others as well. I know last year we had several friends that came over, Lou Ivan and many others that came over, even the short time that I was there for the debate. I'm very excited about being able to go back to G3. I heard Todd Friel and Phil Johnson talking about it the other day. They had me splitting a gut, and that's not a good thing for somebody who just had open heart surgery. I realized I don't want to listen to Todd Friel right now. He makes me laugh. So, and that hurts. So, well, I know you've got your guest coming on now, but I appreciate, Chris, the opportunity to be able to introduce your customers to some of these new works, and and I hope that your guest on now, or is he waiting?
He's waiting, actually, to call in, and we're looking forward to having Jeff back on the show. In fact, Jeff specifically asked me, please have Mike Gaidosh consider publishing some of my books. He has written a couple of books, and he's a very brilliant guy, and seems to be fairly well known amongst Reform folks, especially Presbyterians all over the country.
That's great. Well, we'll have to talk about it and give him my contact information, and we can discuss how we might be able to begin working together.
Great. Well, just always remember that the website for Solid Ground Christian Books is solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com, and unlike our friend in Saudi Arabia, please always remember to tell Mike Gaidosh that you heard about the Solid Ground Christian Books from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we look forward to having you back many times. We are still praising God over the successful heart surgery that you underwent and that you are getting stronger every day.
I am, and I'm very thankful for the prayers of your listeners and you as well, Chris. I'm thankful for you, for James White, for many, many others who let their listeners know about my surgery, and it really meant the world to me to know that that you guys were doing that, and that your friends and your listeners were praying. And I'm just very grateful for the way that I have just continued to get better day by day. So thank you.
Praise God. Well, God bless you, Mike, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love you, buddy.
Love you, too. Bye-bye. And don't go away, folks, because we are going to be joined momentarily by our primary guest today, Dr. Jeffrey Waddington. And Dr. Waddington is going to be discussing the theme, the debate over retrieving Thomas Aquinas for use in Reformed theology. And if you have any questions on that subject, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back, God willing, right after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindley, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Welcome back. We are now going to introduce our guest today. That's Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, who is Stated Supply. I hate that term. It's almost like calling your wife the designated breeder or something like that.
Oh.
But Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington is the Stated Supply of Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. He is Secretary of the Board of the Reformed Forum, panelist at Christ the Center and East of Eden, and an article editor for Confessional Presbyterian Journal, an adjunct professor of systematic theology at Westminster Theological Seminary. Today we are addressing the debate over retrieving Thomas Aquinas for Reformed theology, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington.
Well, brother, it's good to be here to be doing what is probably very unusual. I'm not there in the studio with you. I'm sorry that I'm not, but I'm on the road. Thankfully, traffic is slow, so I don't have to worry about accidents of any kind.
Great.
And it's sparse as well. Slow and sparse. I like that kind of traffic at rush hour.
Amen. Well, I hope we're not causing you to actually break the law. In New York, you'd be breaking the law.
Oh, not at all.
In that case, you would have been actually voluntarily breaking the law. I wouldn't be forcing you to do anything. But
this is hands-free.
Amen. Well, I'm glad that you said that because we don't want to encourage people to be talking on their cell phones while driving. But anyway, why don't you tell our listeners about Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania?
Well, Knox is a congregation, one of the original congregations to come out of the mainline Presbyterian Church in the 1930s. It is, so it's been in existence for, what does that make it, 80-some years. We've been at our current location for 42 years, since 1976. We meet every Sunday, morning and evening, worship. The worship at Knox is unusual for the OPC in that the congregation is committed to exclusive psalm singing with non-instrumentation. Dead air.
Actually, I was pouring myself a cup of coffee. I didn't think you were going to stop at that point.
Okay. That's okay. We'll call that white space. Editors of magazines and books are really concerned about white space, so we'll just call that audio white space.
And by the way, I don't know if you've ever read the book Old Light on New Worship. It is a book in defense of a cappella worship by a Reformed Baptist pastor. In Rochester, New York, Grace Baptist Church. John Price, who I've had on the had as a guest on the program. We actually did a three-part series on that issue. And to tell you the truth, I think that John makes a very strong argument for exclusive a cappella worship. He is not an exclusive psalmist, but he does believe in a cappella exclusively in the worship service, although he is not doing battle against those that disagree with him. He doesn't use that as an area of division, and he is fully aware that the vast majority of Reformed Baptists do use musical instruments. But he is convicted from his study of Scripture to the strictly a cappella position, and I have to say, as I said, he makes a very strong argument. But that is not our theme today. I do advise people, strongly recommend that people listen to that three-part series. If you go to ironsharpensironradio.com and go to the archive in the past shows podcast section and type in John Price, you will get all of those interviews in that series. You could even type in a cappella, which is actually two words, A-C-A-P-P-E-L-L-A. And I'd love to hear back from you what you think of those. Tell us also about the Reformed Forum. That's where many people are familiar with you, it seems, that listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The Reformed Forum, in fact, I think just had a conference where you spoke, did they not?
We did. Reformed Forum has been around for about 10 years. Began as conversations around the table, kitchen table or dining room table or restaurant table about theology, and we thought, well, maybe we were enjoying and benefiting from these conversations. Maybe other folks would as well, with the idea in mind that there are folk in parts of the country where Reformed churches are scarce or nearly non-existent. And for those folk, we began the Reformed Forum program. We've now had five annual fall theology conferences, plus we did a conference in Austin, Texas a few years ago as well. This conference was devoted to what we call seeing God, the deeper Protestant conception, a phrase drawn from the Reformed dogmatics of Gerhardus Voss, and comparing or assessing Thomas Aquinas and Karl Barth in light of Dr. Voss's idea of the deeper Protestant conception.
Yeah, Gerhardus Voss was one of the early faculty members of Princeton, correct?
That's correct. He was the first professor of biblical theology at Princeton, and the big question is often comes up when we think about him, but did he come to Westminster when Machen established Westminster Seminary? And, of course, the answer is no. And then the question arises, then why didn't he? And about the only thing, and I think this was his eldest son Johannes's view, as well, the only thing that we could say about Voss in that at that time was that he was well on in years and would lose his pension and didn't have a lot of money in the bank at the time. Remember, this is in the middle of the Great Depression when all this happened in 1929, when Westminster was founded. However, having said that, Voss was thoroughly supportive of what Machen was doing with Westminster. I think he probably, his body was in Princeton, but his heart was in Philadelphia at Westminster. That certainly is the implication of some of the reading I've done. In fact, in addition to the conference, the Reformed Forum will be publishing in the next 6 to 8 weeks a book, a biography of Gerhardus Voss by the Reverend Danny Ollinger, who is the General Secretary for the Committee on Christian Education for the Orthodox Presbyterian Church.
Yes, I had the great privilege of interviewing Danny on the old Iron Sharpens Iron radio program out of New York on his book, A Gerhardus Voss Anthology.
Right, and this is a nice little follow-up. It's 344 pages, hardback. Anyways, that people can find information about that at the Reform Forum website.
But that book that you just mentioned is not in print yet, right?
Not yet. It should be available sometime. The printer tells us 6 to 8 weeks. It was submitted 2 weeks ago, so subtract that. It could be November that it would be available. We will announce that, you know, through the website and the Crisis Center podcast and the various social media.
Well, and last but not least, why don't you tell our listeners about Confessional Presbyterian Journal?
Sure. That is a journal that is about the same age as the Reformed Forum, published out of Texas. Chris Caldwell is our publisher, and I've had the privilege of being an editor now for a few years, and it's basically a place where conservative Bible-believing Presbyterians can discuss theological matters of a significant nature. It is published once a year. It averages about 250 pages and covers a gamut of different subjects. We tend to focus on a person, a theologian, or theme, but not always, but generally we do. Not everything always in the edition of the journal is tied directly in with the theme, but we try to keep our focus when we do publish. That will be due out typically somewhere around Christmas. That's the next issue, which I believe is volume 14. So that's our 14 years. So it's a little older than the Reform Forum.
And, of course, you have recently been added to the faculty there at Westminster Theological Seminary in the Philadelphia area. Glenside, Pennsylvania, specifically, right?
Yes, as an adjunct professor. This semester I'm serving as a teaching assistant and assisting Dr. David Garner and Dr. Lane Tipton in three different classes, and I also have a THM student who is doing an independent study that I'm directing. Which is more, kind of like tutoring in the fashion of Oxford or Cambridge.
Yes, well, I'm looking forward to seeing your colleague David Garner preach next month. I don't know if you were aware of this, but November 9th and the 10th, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania. I will be manning, God willing, an exhibitor's booth there. And David Garner is on the roster of the speakers there. And it's on the theme, the cross of Christ.
Well, he's very good whenever, as both a teacher and a preacher. So that will be wonderful. The conference there in Quakertown is always a high point, I think, in the life of the church there and in the life of folks in the area who come to attend the conference. It's very well attended.
Yes, this will be my third Quakertown conference.
Ah, then you know very well.
And it's actually, the actual theme is the glory of the cross. I misspoke. It's obviously very similar to what I said, but the glory of the cross is the exact theme. And not only will David Garner be there, but Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson and Carlton Wynn will be there November 9th and the 10th, and I hope that many of you listening in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience will be there with me. And you could go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then scroll down to Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology to get more information about registering. By the way, if you want more information about Westminster Theological Seminary, you could go to WTS.edu, WTS.edu. And if you want any more information about Knox Presbyterian Church, where our guest is the pastor, or should I say the stated supply, you can go to knox-presbyterian.org, knox-presbyterian.org, the Reform Forum website, that you can find out more about that organization, is reformedforum.org, reformedforum.org. And then last but not least, the Confessional Presbyterian Journal. You can find out more about that at cpjournal.com, cpjournal.com, C for Confessional, P for Presbyterian, journal.com. We're going to be going to a break right now, and we are going to come back, God willing, to continue, or should I say begin, the theme of our program today, the debate over retrieving Thomas Aquinas for Reformed Theology. If you have questions about that specific theme, we will allow you a broader field of topics to ask questions over, especially since Dr. Waddington is a pastor, so we will permit you to ask pastoral questions as well, or topics on the broad theme of Reformed theology. But it'd be even better if you have specifically a question about Thomas Aquinas, and that email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It's been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God. That Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection. And that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Weiss, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th to the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Bice, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and order a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise, and you will receive free of charge the book, The Journalable, Psalm 119. A very difficult word to say, journalable, Psalm 119, published by Reformation Heritage Books. It's yours free when mentioning Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and ordering $50 or more. You will also get free shipping on your entire order if you mention Chris Arnzen and order a minimum of $50. Before we return to Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, the adjunct professor of systematic theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania, we just have a few other announcements to make in regard to special events, one of which we just mentioned before. Coming up on November 9th and the 10th, God willing, I will be manning another Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitor's booth at the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. The theme is the glory of the cross, and the speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. This will be held at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. For more details, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. Then, coming up in January, I will also be, God willing, manning an exhibitor's booth for the third year in a row at the G3 Conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And that will be held, God willing, at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. They are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people there. I'm very excited about that because that will be even more people exposed to the ministry of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio while I'm manning my exhibitor's booth. The speakers include Dr. James R. White, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, Anthony Mathenia, who is the pastor of Paul Washer, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, and Stephen J. Nichols, president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more are on that lineup. If you want to register, not only to attend, but if you want to register to have an exhibitor's booth of your own there, because they are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. That conference is from Thursday, January 17th, through Saturday, January 19th. at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia. And please tell them that you heard about that event from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, you look forward to the topics and guests that you hear on the show that very often you will never hear anywhere else, then please consider donating heavily and frequently to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. As long as you are aware of these two caveats, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, and giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please give heavily and frequently to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so that we can survive and remain on the air and continue to bless you. And if you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And whatever it is you're advertising, as long as it is compatible with what we believe here, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we really do need the advertising dollars. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. That's also our email address to send in a question to Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, our guest today. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we are discussing the debate over retrieving Thomas Aquinas for Reformed theology. We would love to hear from you on a question specifically on Thomas Aquinas, on Reformed theology in general, or even a pastoral question since Dr. Waddington is a pastor. And by the way, I want to remind you, if you do not have a church home and you're not prayerfully seeking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. You're being disobedient by not prayerfully seeking out and joining a Bible-believing church near you. So if you're having difficulty finding one, I have lists of churches all over the world, and I have successfully helped, by God's grace, people find churches in their area all over the world, including even as far away as Perth, Australia, and parts of the United States from east coast to west coast, from north to south. So please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church home" or something like that in the subject line, and I will help you find a church. But now, Dr. Waddington, this is a very, intriguing theme that we are discussing today, especially since there is division even amongst Calvinist Reformed Christians over this issue, the debate over retrieving Thomas Aquinas for Reformed theology. I have even had guests on this program, even from your denomination, who are very opposed to the inclusion of Thomas Aquinas into the thinking and teaching of Reformed Christians. And I've had those who wholeheartedly support the use of Thomas Aquinas, whenever he is in agreement with the Scriptures, of course. And why don't you tell, first of all, our listeners who are ignorant of Thomas Aquinas, tell us something about him.
Okay, well, Thomas Aquinas was born in 1224 or 1225. There's some hesitancy about the exact date, and he died in 1274, so he was about 50 years old when he passed away. But in that period of time, he became a voluminous writer. He was a Catholic, Roman Catholic priest. He was a monk. He was a member of the Dominican Order, or sometimes if you see Catholic books where the initials OP appear after a person's name, that means Order of Preachers. So that's the and that was a monastic order that was dedicated to education. It would not surprise us, considering that Thomas Aquinas was not only a preacher and a priest, and a monk, he was also a university professor.
And so was Johann Tetzel, as I remember.
I don't know if Tetzel was a...
He was a Dominican. He was a Dominican. Yes.
Yeah, there are going to be serious issues with Thomas. I come down on the side of not finding him overly helpful or useful as a resource for building my own theology. So I don't come to this as a neutral observer, but actually as a participant in the debate. And we already noted that the Reform Forum had a conference last weekend in the Chicago area in Grays Lake, Illinois, at Hope OPC, where we talked about Thomas Aquinas. We also talked about Karl Barth, a more recent theologian, and then we assessed the two of them in the light of the insight of Gerhardus Voss and what he calls the deeper Protestant conception, which actually is an expression that's in contrast to the deeper Roman Catholic conception, the conception of the image of God and man in particular. Thomas wrote many books. Probably best known are the two works, the Summa Theologiae and the Summa Contra Gentiles, not Gentiles, although that's what
I just saying. Had that for lunch at Mario's.
Okay, all right, yeah. I take it that's some form of an Italian sub.
No, actually, that was a dinner plate with a side of gnocchi. But anyway.
Okay, all right. Well, Thomas Aquinas had a nickname called the Dumb Ox. In that instance, it wasn't, and he was a big man physically. It wasn't a reference to his intelligence, but the fact that he was naturally quiet, reticent. And his teacher, Albert the Great, said at one point that when he speaks, he will roar and the world will hear him, something to that effect. So we were looking, so the question is Thomas worth using as a resource for building your own understanding of the Word of God? In other words, your own systematic theology. And it's not a new debate, as you've already had indication, you've already indicated, rather. You've had guests on the program, Chris, who have taken both sides. And this is not, I guess you would say, it's not a mark of orthodoxy per se, although I would say I would wonder myself, someone who truly understood Thomas, both in the details and in this overall structure of his theology, whether they could be of sound mind and body. But anyways, that's another matter.
Well, you just insulted the late Dr. R.C. Sproul, who upheld.
Well, you see, brother, he's now in heaven and he knows better.
So I'm assuming you don't think that he'll be meeting Thomas up there, or has already met him.
Not really. Well, no. I don't have any. I'm not questioning whether Thomas was a believer. The question is whether his theology is helpful.
Now, can you start with positive things about him? What led Dr. R.C. Sproul and others who I have interviewed to uphold Thomas Aquinas as a great hero of Christendom next to the likes of Augustine, next to the likes of John Owen, for a more recent name, and they really think that he had an enormous part in the formulation of biblical systematic Christian theology. So if you could tell us about why, and in fact, as far as the on the opposing side, which we'll go to after this, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe Cornelius Van Til was opposed to retrieving Thomas Aquinas for Reformed theology, and that may explain.
Well, yeah, he was critical of Thomas's theology, and maybe if we get to the details, we'll see why. But
and the reason I brought Van Til up early is that may explain some of the reasons. It may, I don't know if this is just a quote-unquote coincidence, but Dr. Sproul, as you know, did not share Van Til's presuppositional apologetic, and I'm wondering if that has something to do with
It does.
The Vantillian, I mean the Thomas Aquinas connection. But anyway.
It is. There is a very close connection between acceptance or rejection of Thomas's theology, way of doing theology, and the question of what method of apologetics you embrace. Yeah,
so if you
closely related.
So if you could start with the positive things that you could think of.
Yeah, well, there are. I will tell you, for the past year, I've been reading Thomas, and he's a brilliant mind. He's absolutely brilliant. It's a beautiful thing to see, a brilliant mind at work. Even when one disagrees with a brilliant mind at work, it's a beautiful thing to see. He was very influential, as we've already noted. The reformers, of course, have a mixed reception of him. Luther was rather scathing, and Calvin. Both Luther and Calvin are critical of scholastics, although they don't always mention which ones in particular. And it's not always clear that it's every scholastic that they're going after. Thomas would be like the epitome of medieval Roman Catholic scholasticism. It's an academic way of doing theology. And Thomas is a major part of the Western Christian tradition. He's well established within that tradition. So Reform Forum and myself individually, we're not making an argument that Thomas isn't influential in our heritage. We're simply asking the question, is it wise to knowingly draw from him when it can be demonstrated, not only by our own reading of Thomas, but also by interacting with Thomistic scholars who love what he does, or did. In other words, we're not depending only upon our own assessments. We're going to fairly well-known, well-established theologians in the Roman Catholic tradition who are students of Thomas, we're asking questions, and we're comparing what we see with what they see, and very often it's the same thing. The difference is they love it, we don't. But, again, a brilliant theologian, a Bible commentator. He's probably not as well known for his commentaries on the Bible. There are quite a few that are available in English, commentary on Romans, commentary on a few of the other Pauline epistles, the Hebrews. He's really well known for his Gospel of John. Then there's the Catena Aurea, or Golden Chain, which is, I believe, the Synoptic Gospel commentary. He's also commented on various Old Testament books as well. So he's worth reading. Don't hear me saying don't read him. I'm saying read him with discernment and do not be quick to adopt his theology. Do not be, because at the end of the day, I'm not even thinking so much about the obvious thing that he's Roman Catholic in his sacramentology. He's Roman Catholic in his understanding of justification. I'm trying to go deeper to look at how he understands the overall structure of Christian theology and the Christian life that stems from it.
Now, how would he, to your knowledge, you just mentioned two of the areas where he agrees with the Council of Trent, which was three centuries later. Or should I say the Council of Trent agreed with him on those two areas because they were more recent in history. They were in the 16th century, that gathering
right.
at Trent. But what ways was he in any way different from what those at Trent declared in their Counter-Reformation attempts to make clear the separation between Rome and the Reformers?
Well, of course, he predates the Reformation.
Right, right,
so,
right. Three centuries.
By three centuries, well, two and a half, actually, if you think of 1517 as the beginning of the Reformation, right? But he fully illustrates or manifests medieval Roman Catholic, not only theology, but spirituality and piety, all of those things. He has a full formulation of the doctrine of transubstantiation of the Lord's Supper,
wow,
the elements of the bread and the wine. In fact, if memory serves me right, he's one of the first to give a full articulation of that.
Wow.
So, of course, that's not the subject of my own research. But that's a very, very clear matter. In fact, the Dr. Lawrence Feingold has written a book called The Eucharist, which is, for all intents and purposes, a Thomistic defense of the Roman Catholic understanding of the Lord's Supper. It's not limited to Thomas. He also interacts with other Roman Catholic sources like Pope Benedict and earlier popes. But it's a good, if you're wanting to read something that's hot off the press, Lawrence Feingold, The Eucharist, will give you a clear understanding of what Thomas taught about the Lord's Supper. And for Thomas, the Lord's Supper, the Mass, is the center of Christian existence.
Wow.
The center of Christian existence. My colleague, Reverend Dr. Glenn Clary, did a lecture at the conference last weekend on the Eucharist and Thomas's the setting the Eucharist in the overall structure of Thomas's theology, and showing how it squares beautifully with the rest of his theology. That will be, if it isn't already, available online through the Reform Forum website, where you can listen to it audio or watch the video as well.
Now,
we interviewed Dr. Feingold 2-3 weeks ago, so there is an episode of Christ the Center in the last 3 weeks where we interviewed him, so we were able to ask him those questions, clarifying questions. He's a very clear writer, by the way. One of the things I have to say is this, there is a resurgence of Thomistic scholarship in Roman Catholicism, and for the most part, these writers are brilliantly clear. That's not always the case, as you know, but it's actually a pleasure to read them, to know what I disagree with, to be able to understand what I have problems with and why. But on that particular topic of the Eucharist and Thomas's understanding of it, that is a place to turn for a contemporary scholar. So the Eucharist for Thomas is the center of the Christian experience, the Christian life, the center of the church, the center, and there's reasons why that's the case, where the word in Scripture, it doesn't get that kind of space in his thinking, at least not to the extent that the Eucharist, in terms of the living out of Christian life from that perspective.
Now, I have heard, and perhaps you can either confirm this or disagree with it, but it's been some time, so I can't cite a source right now, but I remember hearing, at the very least, in the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas was in opposition to the growing Mariolatry that was rising up in the Catholic Church at that time. Can you confirm that?
I cannot. It's not one, and not an area that I've done significant reading in. That would be an interesting question, one way or the other. This is one thing we need to have said over and over again, is that the Ninth Commandment applies to dead theologians just as much as it does living people.
Yeah, right.
I'm studying Thomas, and I expect it to be for the rest of my life because he's that brilliant a theologian. Even though I disagree with him, he will be a major focus of my own personal research. I'm doing that because I have an obligation before the throne of God to treat him honestly and fairly.
Okay,
not to create a straw man and then, knock down a straw man. but to deal with him as a, you know, according to what he has said, but also according to how the Roman Catholic Church has built upon his theology, Trent being the example that we've already brought up, that there is actually a church council condemning the Protestant Reformation and the doctrines of the Reformation, affirming the basically Thomistic theology.
By the way, here's a trivia, a bit of trivia. When I was a Roman Catholic and I was confirmed, I chose Aquinas as my confirmation name. Not because I knew anything about Thomas Aquinas, I just thought it was a cool name.
It is a cool name. That actually comes from his town. He was from Aquino. That's where, in Italy. So he was an Italian, by birth. So really what we were trying to get at with this conference is to show the structure of his theology and to show, and to answer the question, if systematic theology is systematic, then it's not so easy to borrow from Thomas without bringing with it whatever we're borrowing, without bringing with it strings that attach that doctrine or concept to its original home.
Now,
here's another metaphor. There's an organic connection between each individual doctrine and the system of which it is a part. In other words, if you play with one doctrine over here, it will have an impact upon this doctrine over there.
Now, I have heard the same thing, however, from my fundamentalist friends when we uphold someone like Augustine as a hero of the faith. Now, of course, Augustine was centuries before Aquinas. There was no Roman Catholic Church when Augustine was alive. It was a Catholic Church with a small c, but there was no Roman Catholic Church. But at the same time, as much as Augustine contributed to a biblically orthodox understanding of election and other things, in fact, Calvin upheld him as one of his own heroes. I have heard also that Augustine was laying the groundwork for even the concept of the Mass and the concept of purgatory. And its infancy. I don't know if you've heard this.
The idea of the Mass actually occurs many centuries before Augustine in a book called the Didache.
The Mass?
It can be understood that way. There's dispute over what is meant, but it talks, that idea of what we call a sacrifice of the Mass, it occurs in the 90s, AD 90s.
Wow, I didn't know the Didache, which I know that's the earliest extra-biblical work that we have in writing in the Christian era.
Right, and Didache simply means is the Greek word for teaching.
Right, right.
Augustine was not perfect. In fact, Dr. Van Til talks about in Augustine there being Siamese twins, Neoplatonic or Platonic philosophy and Christianity, and over time the two twins couldn't survive, only one could survive, and it turned out to be, by God's grace, the Christian faith that won.
Right.
In a sense, of course, that's true for all of us in this Christian life. That hopefully we are maturing and growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is something different. I'm not talking about an imperfect theologian. If I, was that stringent, then everyone, including myself, would be discounted as useful resources.
So you're saying...
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that our fundamentalist friends and some others might say, you are really walking on thin ice, constantly going back to Augustine and others who are part of the Catholic Church, because you are going to be perhaps unconsciously used to lead people back to Rome, perhaps lead yourself back to Rome. And therefore, if we're going to criticize people for using Thomas Aquinas as a reference, we should be leery of using Augustine. But would the difference be between the two that you have a much more full-blown Romanism involved with Thomas Aquinas, since he is centuries later after.
Yeah, about 800 years later, Augustine being in the 300s and 400s and Aquinas being in the 1200s, right? Certainly, there's more going on with Thomas, and part of that would be the more fully developed what we would recognize as Roman Catholicism. And you're right, in Augustine's day, there was no pope in Rome. There was a bishop in Rome, but not a pope. And that bishop, while he had, I suppose, moral authority, that is, persuasive authority, he did not have the kind of authority that we typically associate with popes. So Thomas, of course, does share a lot of the teaching of that we associate with Roman Catholicism. Now, Roman Catholicism is wider and deeper than Thomas, as you might understand. Thomas's and Thomism is one strand of thought within the broader Roman Catholic tradition. Admittedly, a dominating influence, but hardly the only influence. And in our day, post-Vatican II, Thomas would look pretty good compared to some of the other developments that have been occurring in Roman Catholicism.
Well, I mean, so at least they're not putting us to death anymore. At least that's a positive note.
That's true. There is, as we say, there is a debate. So we have brothers who are wanting to draw upon the theology of Thomas, and I'm talking about younger men who have been influenced, of course, by the wonderful research done by Richard Muller in the area of Reformed Scholasticism. And this is not, again, this is not a criticism of Reformed Scholasticism, but those who have studied Richard Muller, studied with him, or read his books, will know that the Protestant scholastics drew upon Thomas Aquinas. So this is not we're not making a historical argument that Thomas has never been influential in Reformed circles. He most assuredly has. And in the earlier generations, he was most assuredly more universally influential. That would be a subject for another day. But we're talking about the normative question. In other words, is he helpful? And this is not a matter of the simple differences between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism that we could all mention. Okay, this goes deeper than that.
All right, we're going to go to our final break, and then we could get into all of these areas of concern that you have in regard to the uplifting of Thomas Aquinas as a hero of the faith by many, even within our own circles of fellowship, our own denominations, brotherhoods, even in our own congregations, perhaps, who disagree over this issue. But let me read you a question from a listener, and then you can answer it when we return. We have Christopher from Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, I was wondering if you agree with your colleague in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, Pastor Kevin Swanson, who wrote in his book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, that Thomas Aquinas should be included in that notorious roster. And we will have you answer that when we come back. And if anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question, we do have some of you patiently waiting. Well, at least I hope you're waiting patiently. But if anybody else would like to join them, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Tired?
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace,
You need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Welcome back. We are now in the final segment of our interview today with Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, Stated Supply at Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, and he is also adjunct professor of systematic theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania. We are discussing the debate over retrieving Thomas Aquinas for Reformed theology, and our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. And Dr. Waddington, before the break, we had Christopher in Suffolk County, New York, ask if you agreed with Kevin Swanson, who is another Orthodox Presbyterian Church pastor, who wrote in his book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, that Thomas Aquinas should be included in that notorious roster. Do you agree with that?
I'm not sure that I would want to put it in such vehement terms, because remember what I said earlier, I'm not making a judgment on his whether he's saved or not. We do have to allow for the historical place, location where Thomas is.
Right, but you said earlier that his opinion, or his belief, I should say, of in regard to the doctrine of justification, was later echoed 250 years later by the Council of Trent. So wouldn't that put him at odds with those of the regenerate church?
As far as the official teaching, yes. But there are people who are worse than their doctrine, and there are people who are better than their doctrine.
That's a good way to put it.
And so that would be a rationalistic approach.
But even a person, even a person who is or was truly regenerate, even if it's something that only God and that person knows, or that only God knows, they still could have been used in a negative way to help destroy the Christian West.
That's true. I would agree that the official teaching of Thomas Aquinas is, at the end of the day, when fully understood and assessed, contribute to the downfall of the church. It's wrong. It's wrong on so many issues. It's wrong in its whole contours, which we haven't got to yet. I haven't yet had an opportunity to address that. What is the problem with Thomas beyond the basic Roman Catholic element? There is more to it than that, but of course that's also included. And that would be, I guess, one of my concerns of those who want to retrieve Thomas for Reformed theology is they're abstracting. In other words, Thomas is a full-blooded Roman Catholic theologian.
Go ahead, finish that thought.
That, I mean, he's the epitome of the medieval Roman Catholic theological project.
Okay. Continue your thought.
No, just thinking, one of the things he's trying to do is to blend. Now, this is the difference, I think, between Augustine and Thomas, to get back to the earlier question. Augustine had, if you know anything about Augustine's biography, he came through various philosophical schools. He tried them out, right? And finally, the grace of God broke through, and he became a Christian, came to faith in Christ. Thomas, and so Augustine has, he borrows here and there from his philosophical context where he believes it helps. Thomas is doing something more than that. He's purposely wedding, if you will, marrying Neoplatonic and Aristotelian philosophy to Christian theology.
That's where the Mass comes into play.
Yeah. It's a larger project. It's a larger, more cohesive project. Yes, Augustine is the one who casts the shadow over, you know, all the centuries now, millennia, actually. He was, we might say, accidentally, if that's the right word, he was using there was an influence of philosophy upon, or pagan philosophy upon his thinking. That, over time, changes. With Thomas, he's purposely embracing or using elements of pagan, he's marrying the two. Now, there are instances where he clearly rejects Aristotle. For instance, Aristotle held to the eternality of the universe, and then, of course, Thomas being, publicly a professed Christian, he knows that the Bible teaches that the universe was brought into existence by God at a particular, or well, where time began. Right?
So, in other words, Aristotle was a Mormon?
or Mormons are Aristotelian. At that point, Thomas knows that the Bible is pretty clear on that. So he rejects that, but there are other instances where he accepts the teaching of Aristotle, where we might, and I'm not saying Aristotle is wrong on everything, or Plato is wrong on everything. That's not what I'm saying. And there are people who actually think that. I don't. What I'm saying is that if you understand Aristotle, you understand Plato, or you understand Neoplatonism as a school of philosophy, you will understand their view of things, each of their doctrines. For instance, Plato on the immortality of the soul. So we're happy Plato believed in the immortality of the soul. Well, if you look at the details, Plato believed in reincarnation, and that's why he believes in the immortality of the soul. That's not the Christian notion of immortality of the soul. And we believe in the resurrection of the body as well as the immortality of the soul. So you see, it's that kind of thing that we want to do as Christians whenever we read somebody that's not the Bible. You know, I'm not a big fan of Norman Geisler, the Arminian apologist, but he did get one thing right. He says, I only read the Bible to believe, all others to consider.
Right. One thing.
We must. Yeah.
One thing I can be certain is that in regard to Plato, parents, those of you who are listening, never let your children use Plato with a shag carpet. It's really...
Yeah, I knew that. I'm the kind of guy who does the same thing, you know, Plato. I was talking about Plato.
I know that's what you were talking about.
I know you were.
And by the way, you just had probably countless numbers of conditional immortality advocates, the disciples of Ed Fudge, the late Ed Fudge, who heard you attribute the immortality of the soul teaching to Plato, because that's what they do. They say that it's not a biblical doctrine.
No, that's not what I said.
I know.
His particular form of the doctrine,
right.
Not biblical. Our understanding is the soul is immortal, but it's immortal because God upholds the soul, not because the soul inherently possesses that quality.
By the way, we have a listener who has a question.
Okay.
Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, asks, with all of the criticism of Thomas Aquinas, I heard of something that you and your guest should both agree upon, and that is that he was an advocate of double predestination. Is that true? And if it was true or is true, How can that be compatible and coexist simultaneously with a merit-based understanding of justification?
Well, that's a very good question. Thomas is a very subtle thinker, and he saw himself, of course, as being a student of Augustine. But it's from my own reading of Thomas, I would say his, for instance, his doctrine of sin is while he affirms it, it doesn't seem to have a lot of effect on the thinking of the fallen person. That's one of the big areas of disagreement. But yes, I believe that's true. Again, not the area where I did concentrated my reading. In with regard to Thomas's doctrine of double predestination, that would make him what I have already said he was, which was in the general school of Augustinian theology.
And just for our listeners who think that that's a bad phrase and an ugly concept, double predestination, you're probably erroneously thinking of equal ultimacy, which is something that I would think that you reject along with me. Equal,
yes.
But we believe, for the most part, as Calvinists, in double predestination, and that does not mean that God forces morally neutral men to be evil, as he rescues his elect on the other side of the spectrum from their immoral and damnable state, and gives them new hearts and regenerates them. It's not like he is supernaturally doing the same thing to the reprobate, where they have to be forced to be reprobate or
correct
evil.
Correct. That's not happening. We've landed ourselves in a discussion between the supra and infralapsarians. Thomas would be. And you are correct to point out that equal ultimacy does not hold. The way that God chooses the elect, remember that we're all fallen in sin. And God chooses from what in the Latin would be something like massa damnata, the damned mass, the mass of sinners. He chooses from that mass of people who are unworthy of his grace, have not merited his God's favor. He chooses to save some and to pass by the others, and that's called preterition, or preterition. And it's different. It's a little slightly different. So they're not equally ultimate. They're not exactly the same. And that double predestination recognizes that distinction.
Right. Well, I want you to focus now for the remainder of our time on the things that you are aware of, that you know of, that would separate. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Helpful if I do.
well, things that would separate Thomas Aquinas from biblical orthodoxy that we should be aware of, that should give us reason for pause when anyone is considering adopting him as a hero.
Okay, well, the most obvious, beyond the basic things that we already know, because he's a Roman Catholic theologian, and therefore articulates those doctrines in probably their best form that you could find, would be his, he is an Aristotelian empiricist, that is, all knowledge begins with the senses, the five senses. The problem with that, of course, is that the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 tells us that we know God. That is, we are created with knowledge of God. And that's one of the areas where Thomas stumbles very seriously and falls to the ground. He thinks that we only can know God from his effects in creation. And we can't know him really all that much. We can only know that he exists. We can't really know who he is or what he is without the help of what we now call special revelation.
Yeah, he seems to be isolating Romans 1 and leaving out any special revelation that would occur.
There's a whole, I don't believe that Thomas has a notion of what we call natural revelation. That's part of the problem.
Oh, okay.
That God reveals himself in creation, including in our nature. In other words, God reveals himself in nature, including human nature. See, we would argue, along with John Calvin, that all men, because they are made in the image of God, have a sense of the divine, right? They know God. As Paul says in Romans 1, we know God, we know his divine nature. We not only know his divine nature, we also know what he expects of us morally, and that the kinds of sins we participate in are sins that deserve death, right? That's what Paul says in Romans 1, 18 to 32. But Thomas, when you read his commentary on Romans, which I have done, he basically says that God created us that we can know God, or might possibly know God, because it requires what we call an inferential process. In other words, we look at the world, and then we think about it, and we come to the conclusion that there is a God, not necessarily the God of the Bible. Now, he believes it's the God of the Bible. There's no doubt in my mind that he thinks it's the God of the Bible, but if you were look at his actual arguments, they yield a God, not the God. He operates with what's called the chain of being. That is, God at the top of the chain, or ladder, and the prime matter at the bottom. God is simple. His essence and his existence, to use Aristotelian language, coincide. For the rest of us creatures, our essence and existence are not coincidental. We are not simple. Okay, we have a combination of essence and existence. I'm now getting into technical language. Unfortunately, there's no way around it. But anyway, for the really serious part is that for us to exist, that is, human beings to exist, we have to participate in the being of God, which looks to me like a form of pantheism. And there are other issues. There are other issues as well related to this. But Thomas's system of theology is very cohesive. It's coherent. All the parts seem to interlock, if you will, almost like the puzzle that the box that you pull the parts out, and then the whole thing is it Django?
Well, I think every puzzle is described the way you just described.
Okay.
It.
Well, I mean, the parts in. So our debate with the brothers who want to use Thomas, and by the way, many of these are personal friends of mine, so I don't bear any animosity against them. It's a serious discussion, and it's not a small matter. What we're talking about, it's not a parlor game. But I do have friends on the other side of this debate. I would consider, I didn't know Dr. Sproul personally, but I benefited greatly from his teaching ministry over the years, as I did his mentor, Dr. John Gerstner.
I would not be surprised if Dr. Sproul, in fact, even in a continuing sense, since his writings and his recordings still live on, but I would not be surprised if he was one of the primary, if not the greatest, human influences in the 20th and 21st centuries of Arminians coming to the Reformed faith, if not including the lost coming to salvation in America, at least.
Well, he was certainly one of my favorite writers as a Wesleyan. And that's, I suppose, why I became Reformed.
That's right. If anybody wants to hear Dr. Waddington's testimony, it's archived at irontrepandsironradio.com, and our listeners may be surprised to know that our guest, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, was in the Salvation Army, a very Wesleyan denomination, prior to coming to the Reformed faith.
And I early on read Holiness of God and became attracted to Dr. Sproul's writings, but on this issue, I would have to disagree with him. And again, it's I want to treat Thomas honestly, and frankly, I think I'm doing that. And the more I read him, the less I find him attractive. And so the question really comes down to not whether we should read Thomas. I think we should. If only to be aware of what came before, you know, what's in the historical background. But the question is, can we dislodge any particular truth from Thomas's system of theology without bringing the rest of that system with it? And I'm suggesting that that's a harder thing to do than we realize. I'm not suggesting that it's totally impossible, but I'm saying it would require the expression I used at the conference last weekend in Chicago was that we would have to give him a Christian power wash. any ideas that we bring from Thomas would have to be thoroughly washed, just as it would from any other, you know, a pagan writer. That we would have to, you know, a non-Christian writer, we would have to filter whatever we read through the biblical lens and our confessional lens, and then see if what we learn actually agrees with the scriptures. And I guess at the end of the day, what I'm saying and what my colleagues at the Reformed Forum are saying is that, in fact, no, the Thomas's work fails with regard to that test.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, don't you think that one of the beautiful things about Reformed theology is the freedom that it gives us? We can have the courage to pursue reading and learning about those, even if their teachings are riddled with errors, without fear that we will become apostates because we believe that true, regenerate, born-again people will not permanently become apostate and abandon the gospel. It seems that many Christians are so paranoid over what their flocks may be reading or investigating that they seem to be simultaneously denying the very teaching of perseverance of the saints. What is your thoughts on this?
Well, on one level, I agree with that thoroughly. On a pastoral level, it would depend, you know, obviously I have to wrestle with this question all the time, in the sense that what I'm able to read and what a member of my congregation is able to read may not be the same thing, depending on their spiritual state, their
right.
maturity level, that
right.
kind of thing, right?
Right, because
so
especially when you're talking about a new believer, it might be more dangerous because
right, right, exactly. So So while I agree with that writer's comments in general, I would have to then take into consideration with particular people what their spiritual condition is before I would encourage them to read Thomas or other less trustworthy or other untrustworthy sources.
All right, I'd like you to have about 2 minutes now to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Well, with regard to Thomas, respect him as a historical source, a historically significant theologian, but at the end of the day, his theology does not add up to biblical Christianity. And I say that with a sense of sorrow because he has the same Bible that we have, taking into consideration the different versions. But he had the resources at his disposal, and he was reading the Bible. He was a monk. He was a university professor of theology, so he was teaching Bible. And there are times where what he says is in the biblical commentaries is helpful, but he was so far of the mark. It's a healthy reminder that it is only by God's grace that we remain faithful to the scriptures that he has given to us. And that Thomas is, I guess, at the end of the day, is for me a lesson in what to avoid more than what to embrace.
Well, I am so delighted that you were able to be on the show today. Dr. Jeffrey Waddington, the website for Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, is knox-presbyterian.org, and that's knox-presbyterian.org. And for those of you who want to listen to the Reformed Forum, go to the reformedforum.org, reformedforum.org. And if you want to find out more about the Confessional Presbyterian Journal, go to cpjournal.com, cpjournal.com. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.